Good afternoon, and thank you all for being here. We know it's a challenge to be at the last session on the last day, but hopefully you'll get some insights about what we're doing as part of this pilot demonstration. My name is Karen DeLue, and I'm the director for the Center for Healthy Living and Chronic Disease Prevention at the State Department of Public Health and Environment here in Colorado. And for just a tiny bit of background, in 2005, there were a lot of states complaining to CDC that we felt like we were very limited in how we could do work because all our funding came down through the categorical programs, and it was frustrating for a lot of us to kind of figure out how to do business under that model. So at the end of 2005, they released an RFA asking states to participate in the pilot demonstration project. There was no funding attached, but what it would allow us to do is have a different negotiated agreement with CDC so that we could do things a little bit differently. So I believe about 20 states applied and 4 states were selected, and we are at the end of the second year of the third year of this pilot demonstration project. So no disclosures, no relationships. So what I just would like to do is to talk about Colorado's approach to being in this pilot project, talk a little bit about some of the benefits of integration that we're experiencing, and some of the lessons learned from the organizational change process. And I think, as Jewel alluded to, this is a huge organizational change process, and I think if it's anything we discovered, it's about managing change in a large organization. We all agreed we'd show our organizational structures because when we do this thing together, everybody can't figure out who's a branch and a leaf and all that kind of stuff. So I'm in the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment and the Prevention Services Division. And within that division are 2 centers. We have the Healthy Birth and the Healthy Death. And then within my center, which is the Center for Healthy Living, we have 4 branches, and I'll go over those org charts, and then multiple units in each branch. These are the programs in my center that are involved in the negotiated pilot. We included all the centers in the program and not just the 7 that CDC said we could include, but we decided to open it up and include everybody rather than try and do it with some programs and not others. So when I talk about we have 1 work plan for the year, that work plan encompasses the work of all of these programs. One of the reasons I think Colorado was selected to participate in the pilot was because we had started on some of this integration stuff in about 2006, and the department underwent the National Public Health Performance Assessment or Performance Standards Assessment, and we scored low in some really key areas. We scored low in evaluation and epidemiology, we scored low in policy, and we scored low in workforce development. So we decided to tackle those things so we could increase our effectiveness in those areas. And so the center that I'm in was created as part of that formal reorganization. We also at that time took all the evaluators and epidemiologists out of all the categorical programs in the division, so this was a division-wide initiative, and put them into 1 branch, which was sort of a big thing to do and caused a lot of grief and upset, but we're convinced it was the right thing to do because each program had a program evaluator, but they might not have anyone, they might not have an epidemiologist or a statistician. So by bringing all those people together, we felt like we were giving each of the categorical programs access to better expertise in those areas and also better expertise to the local health departments. We also are fortunate in Colorado because of the tobacco tax that was passed in 2004 that we get $50 million in my center. 25 of that goes towards tobacco control, and the other $25 million goes towards chronic disease prevention. And so we found ourselves running a huge, 95% of that funding has to go out the door, primarily through grants programs. So we found ourselves running a huge foundation inside the health department. So we also looked at how we could consolidate some of those functions. And then we also created some cross-cutting teams, and these were sort of informal teams like the communities of practice that you'll hear about in a little while. But we were particularly interested in looking at how we were doing in workforce development and also the issue of health disparities. We spent a lot of time in the planning phase, and these are the underlying principles that we developed before we decided to go forward. And it, you know, really wanting to use a comprehensive, holistic approach. You know, we knew that all the categorical programs were going out into the community separately, or going into physicians' office separately, or going to legislators separately, or wherever they were going. So we were hearing a lot of concerns from people that we weren't more organized and didn't seem to have our act together. So really this notion of trying to take a more holistic approach was important. We also wanted to look at the data more and really focus in on where those health inequities were occurring and really concentrate on trying to reduce that gap. And that was true really across all the programs in the center. We've also created an emphasis on working towards more evidence-based programs, and this is something that we've been working on for several years, but really making sure not only what we're doing but what we're funding has a strong evidence base so we can effectuate the most change. But most importantly, we wanted to maintain our program-specific expertise. We did not want to lose our tobacco control expertise or our obesity expertise or our diabetes expertise. So even though we were doing this, we still recognized and that is very important to keep that content expertise intact. We spent a lot of time figuring out why we might want to try this, and here's some of the things that we came up with. It's a much longer list, but really promoting streamlined business processes. Again, you know, anyone that we provided funding to and had they had to submit an invoice, it was a whole different experience depending on which program was funding you. We had just each one of the program managers, categorical program managers, had pretty much set up their own system for doing things, and so depending on how many interactions you had with us, it could be pretty crazy making. So we felt like there was a lot more we could do in terms of just making our business processes make a lot more sense for the people we were having to interact with. And then these next two things are pretty obvious. You know, chronic disease is a complex problem, and you can't just solve it by an organ-by-organ approach. You really have to approach things holistically and find out where, you know, those intersects are in terms of the systems that we're trying to work with to help reduce and prevent chronic disease. One of the things we did last year was we spent a lot of time on this. It's a system dynamics map. And we were really trying to get everyone in the center and all those categorical program managers to see how everything is related, to see that what they're doing is connected to what everyone else is doing, so that they didn't see themselves as sort of going out separately, but what they did really impacted what everyone else was doing. So people felt like they were in this together as opposed to just approaching it from a categorical mentality. In 2008, as I mentioned, we started in the official pilot agreement and our pilot program. And one of the things we found out pretty quickly is it really helped elevate our work in integration to a different level. It really provided a catalyst to sort of formalize some of the changes that we were trying to go through. It provided visibility in the department, which we thought was important, and also got a lot of people talking about it and interested in it. Being in the pilot also, you know, we had deadlines all of a sudden. So we had deadlines for a work plan. We had deadlines for different things, our planning process. And it was the first time, you know, that we had been working on integration where we really had some accountability to some products and outcomes. So it was very valuable to us to give us kind of that next push to the next level. In the first year of the pilot, we spent a lot of time developing our mission, vision, and five-year health outcomes. We did a coordinated strategic planning process, which really involved all of the categorical program managers and program staff coming together, and we all did a strategic planning process together, which, you know, as most of you who are on categorical funding know, there's all these different requirements for your five-year plan, and one grant's ending on this day and starting on this day. So we just sort of ignored all those external kinds of things and said, we're going to sit down and we're going to plan together as a whole. So it was a really interesting and, I think, extremely beneficial process, because for the first time, everybody knew what everyone else was doing instead of just what they were doing. So it was really important. We did submit a single work plan to CDC and a report. Again, it's all in one document. Everybody can see what everybody else is doing, who's assigned to what. And so it was really helpful in getting everybody to kind of understand that we're all on one team. And then we also established new leadership and management teams. We also, during this process, really decided on what our health outcomes would be and sort of our version of the winnable battles. And those are listed here. We have very specific measurable objectives under each one of these, but through that strategic planning process and looking at that systems dynamic map, it was clear to us that primary prevention was key to reducing chronic diseases, and that we really needed to beef up some of the work we were doing, particularly in obesity and healthy weight. Again, we were fortunate to have money from the tobacco tax, so we had a pretty vigorous tobacco program. But it was important for us to collectively agree on those health outcomes. And so even the diabetes person agreed to these. Imagine. In the second year, we really we tried to sort of do kind of this virtual reorganization and kind of just have people work together in informal teams, and found out that it really didn't work, because people kept defaulting back to the old way of doing business. So this last year we bit the bullet and realigned our structure into these four branches, and I'll just go over the org charts. So we have a healthy living branch, and this branch is mainly focused on policy development and implementation, and also translating that work into healthy communities and how we're providing technical assistance and training to the folks that we're working with at the community level. We have a chronic disease branch, which is self-management services, oral health, screening services, and health system change. And one of the big things was putting the quit line under self-management services instead of tobacco. But again, we feel like that's been the right decision to move that. And we also, this health system change unit, really in response to trying to deal with healthcare reform, what's public health's role in healthcare reform, how can we begin to take a coordinated approach to addressing this instead of having each of the categorical programs try and figure it out for themselves. We have a health equity communications and planning branch, and again, health communications being something that the tobacco program used to just be the only program that had access to, and we felt like it was important for other people to begin to understand the importance of health communication and health marketing. And then also sort of formalize some of our work we're trying to do in social determinants of health and in language services, so that we could do a better job of reaching those populations. And then fiscal and operations, which isn't as exciting, but they're a real branch. I think we've really had to spend a lot of time clarifying decision making, because again, the categorical folks were used to doing everything from soup to nuts, to being the leader, the manager, the implementer, the budget person, the planning person, the contracts person. So we really had to kind of clarify roles and responsibilities. We're convinced we're headed in the right direction. We feel like we've freed up those content experts to really do more of that work and less of sort of the budgeting work or the contracts work, so they can really focus on that. Staff are not, they're really engaging with each other a lot. And I think there's this notion that we're a team and we're in this together, I think, a lot because of the time we spent on that systems dynamics model and that coming up with the goals that we came up with. We have lots of success stories. For those of you who have your programs have to compete for BRFIS questions. You know what that's like. We have standardized hiring processes across the categorical programs because, again, before each of the categorical program, people were in charge of that for themselves. We've really worked on health systems. We had some money in our comp cancer grant, and we were short money on our quit line, so we were able to move that over. So that's one example. And then we also have one budget for the entire center. Again, the lessons we've learned, this has been a very iterative process. Communication is the key. You have to be courageous because people really aren't necessarily comfortable with change. And we, again, just having to remove those old defaults, because I think it's sort of like the healthy choice is the easy choice. So we're trying to go, the integrated choice is the easy choice. So that's it for now. Thank you.